And so we open up our Bibles to Luke's Gospel. I'm going to read there. Should be on or around about page 1032 if you're following in the church Bibles. Luke's Gospel and chapter 5. Going to be reading from verse 12. Down to verse 32. So either, I'm guessing you'll be following in the Bible, or in the Bible, in one of these books, or on your phones, or tablets, or wherever you've got access this morning to your Bible. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, reading from verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal those who were ill. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi standing at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We thank God for what we have read, and we pray that today it may become for us the living word of God. So this series, this brief series, looking at and expounding our church values. We're familiar with our church values in one way or another: Jesus, welcome, community, inclusive involvement, and journey. And today is the second in the series, being the second Sunday after Easter, where we focus on welcome. Welcome. We are committed to welcoming all and making a safe place. That is a value that we seek to uphold together. The value of welcome, to welcome everyone and to make a safe place for whoever comes. Now, this idea of welcome, when we read it in the Bible, when we read it, particularly in the New Testament, what are we talking about? What is the word that is defined in this way? It is a word that means to welcome, to receive, but also to take into one's hands. To take into one's hands. Now, I don't know what you're like when somebody comes to your home or you're introduced with somebody, to somebody. Are you one of these folk who reaches out, you know, stretches out? You don't want to get too close to the person, but you stretch out to shake their hands. Yeah, some of you. Others of you are right there. You know, you go straight in, you grab their elbow as well, and you shake their hands, and you keep shaking their hands until they ask for a release, you know. Others of you, never mind the handshake, you're right in there, arms open wide, and sometimes that can be a little bit much. But other times, maybe you do know the person. But this idea of welcome, to take somebody into your hands, there's a sense of deep welcome there, of deep receiving somebody, of putting my own barriers down and receiving that person, taking a sense of responsibility even for that person. And this would be very familiar to certainly people in the Middle East in the first century, but even today, where if you turn up at somebody's home, you are welcome, you'd be sat down and you'd be given something to drink and eat. And places in Africa as well, this is very traditional and very normal. You haven't truly visited somebody's house, you haven't truly been welcomed unless they give you something to eat and drink, which is great unless you're visiting half a dozen people in the space of a morning and you come away truly full. But this is one of our values, our second value. Our first is Jesus and our commitment to follow Jesus, to be his disciples. Jesus is the one through whom we view everything else and everyone else. And when we look at a value like welcome, what we seek to do is look at Jesus and say, how does Jesus respond to people? How does Jesus welcome people? How does Jesus receive people? How does he take people into his hands? What's the difference that is made? What is going on? And so as we think about welcome today, my encouragement, firstly, is that we need to be flexible in our understanding. We need to be flexible in our understanding, always seeking God's welcome. How does God welcome? Now, I say we need to be flexible. We all need to be flexible in our understanding. Now, I've said on previous occasions, and I'll probably say it a million more times before I'm done, but in my life and in my Christian faith, in my spiritual journey, I have learnt many, many things. And I've changed my view on many things in my faith. Some changes have been hard to accept, but others have been an immense joy. And one of the key ways in which I have changed my understanding is that I now understand I have no idea truly how vast, how great, and how abundant is the love of God. I used to have an idea. I used to think, well, I understood the love of God. How big it was, the extent of it, what the boundaries were of the love of God. I now understand that I don't understand. That the love of God is more vast than my imagination. There are no boundaries with the love of God, and I cannot truly comprehend that. And when I say we need to be flexible in our understanding of welcome, it is because I know for myself, and if this is true for me, then the chances are it'll resonate with some others. I know that for me, my understanding of welcome in the past has been limited. That understanding of who is truly welcome, and when I say welcome in the church, who is truly welcome to come as they are and participate as they are in the life and mission and fellowship of the church. Because, here's a confession, I know I have prejudices. You know, I know I do. And I don't like the fact that I do, but I've learnt them. I'm not sure where I've learnt them from, but I do. And if you can trace the history of the church has lived with prejudice. There was a time when women were not allowed to participate fully in the life of the church. There was a time when, if you were not of white skin and English, you were not allowed to participate fully in the life of the church. And there are all sorts of other ways in which we have limited welcome. But God, in his mercy, has broken down or melted our prejudice. And we look back and think, how on earth did we ever think like that? And yet we did. And so when we think about welcome, we need to be flexible. And to say, well, if this is the extent of our welcome today, we need to be aware, I need to flex that, because God's welcome is ever greater than the welcome we give. And we need to grow our welcome. And when we read the Bible, of course, there are many, many examples of the extraordinary welcome that God gives. Because God welcomes the unforgiven and forgives. We have this beautiful story of these friends who bring the paralyzed man to Jesus. And when that paralyzed man is presented to Jesus, lowered through the roof of the home in which he was speaking, right into the middle of that crowd that had gathered around Jesus to hear all that he had to say, the first thing Jesus does is declare to the man, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And what we understand from this story is that there are those who are there present, Pharisees and teachers of the law, religious people who felt they loved God as much as the next person, if not more. But they were thinking, this man isn't forgiven. Maybe this man has done something wrong that's unforgivable. That's why this man is paralyzed. But Jesus declares, in eternity, God forgave your sin, and I need to tell you, you are free. And that is God's welcome. You are forgiven today. You are forgiven. And you say, why am I forgiven? Because God forgives you. What have I ever done to deserve forgiveness? You're a child of God. He loves you and he forgives you. He wants to wipe away everything that gets in the way. And he does not hold your sin against you. And Jesus welcomes the unforgiven. And Jesus welcomes the outsider. Jesus welcomes the ostracized, that story about the man who is covered with this leprosy, this skin disease. And so people would keep clear of those with leprosy. Now, we haven't got leprosy, but sometimes we feel a bit like we keep clear of certain people as if we're going to catch something off them, whether that's a physical illness or some other thing. And we ostracize people. And there are all sorts of reasons why we ostracize people and put them outside. It may be because of their lifestyle. It may be because they believe certain things that we don't agree with. It may be that they are a person that we don't think should be welcome. And yet Jesus reaches out his hands and welcomes the very people we would exclude. And the foreigner and the impure, those who are not acceptable to us, God welcomes. And we may find that challenging. Sometimes we'll find it offensive. And this is the extraordinary thing. And this is where God's love and God's welcome is far greater than ever we can imagine. God is not interested in our offense. He says, my love is greater. My welcome is more wonderful. The prophet Isaiah speaks words of deep encouragement. I think it's in Isaiah 56. He says, you know, if you're a foreigner, if you are truly an outsider, maybe you don't even speak the right language, you don't understand things in the right way. If you're a foreigner and you turn and you make your way to the place of God, don't come with fear, thinking you won't be welcome. And Isaiah prophesies there'll be a day when truly you will be welcome. Come, foreigner, just as you are. And then he goes on, Isaiah goes on and says, if you're a eunuch, now a eunuch had a gender, a sexuality that was difficult to explain, wasn't male, wasn't female, nobody was really sure who they were in that way. But he says, if you're a eunuch, don't think you'll be excluded. And Isaiah prophesies a day when even those who don't fit into the neat categories of the world, they will be welcome. Why? Because God is in the business of welcoming all. Because his love excludes none. And so we need to be flexible. That's all I'm saying. We need to be flexible, however great our love is and however great our welcome is. The chances are God's love is bigger and God's welcome is more extended than what we understand. And so for us, we need to consider welcome. Gender should not mean that somebody is not welcome. Race should not mean that somebody is not welcome. Somebody's sexuality or status should not mean that they are not welcome. Somebody's nationality or their family circumstances, whether they're married or divorced or estranged, should not mean that they are not welcome. Whatever their life story, whatever their identity, should not mean that they are not welcome. Because we seek to welcome in the manner of Jesus. And Jesus welcomed in a way that challenged other people. And so we seek Sometimes we do it well, sometimes we don't do it well at all. We seek to have flexible hearts. Again, the prophet Jeremiah, spoke about God changing our hearts from being hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And we need those hearts of flesh that will flow with the love of God. Now, all of what I've just mentioned is made all the more easy if we ourselves are willing to receive God's welcome for us. Yeah? If we are willing to receive God's welcome for us, it makes it all the more easy. If we understand the extent of God's love for us, if we understand the extent of God's welcome for us, it changes everything. We receive God's love, we accept God's welcome, and we live as a response to that. And so what do we do? Well, we make sure that our welcome is intentional. And this may mean that we have to get up in the morning and say, I recognize my prejudice. I recognize I don't much like this person or that person. But today I intend to live as a disciple of Jesus. And I intend to welcome as he welcomed. We welcome acknowledging difference. So we welcome not saying everybody must come and ultimately agree with me or with you. But we acknowledge that we are different. We come from different backgrounds with different experiences. We come with different nuances of belief and understanding. And we don't try and squeeze everybody into the same mold and say, at the end of the day, everybody will believe all of these things. But we say, if your heart is for God and you're willing to follow Jesus, I'm with you. And we'll make this journey together. And our welcome has to be embodied. Now, I put this word in, embodied, because it's not just an idea. It is lived. You know, it's that, how close do we get to somebody? What distance do we have between ourselves and them? We live it. We seek to live God's welcome for others. We embody it. And sometimes this is costly. Sometimes it's costly for us because we have to be the ones who change. As we come alongside people, as we welcome them, and bless them. But there also needs to be discernment. Because you might turn around and say, do you know what? I hear everything you're saying, but surely there must be exceptions. Now, some of you may be sitting there thinking, I wish I could think of an exception to this. There was once a man who came to Jesus and said, what must I do? What must I do to inherit the kingdom? And Jesus said, well, you know the commands. And recited some of the Ten Commandments. And the man turned round and said, well, I've done all of those. I'm pretty good. What more should I do? And Jesus said to that man, you must take all that you have, sell it all and give all the money to the poor and then come follow me. And that man went away sad, we're told, because of what Jesus had said. Now, did Jesus welcome that person? Or did Jesus exclude that person? Now, the disciples were shocked by what Jesus had said. Jesus said to his disciples, it is easier for a camel, a full-grown camel, to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The problem isn't with the kingdom of heaven. It's with holding on to the wealth. And the reality of this welcome for each one of us is that sometimes we need to make a change. And we need discernment as people come and we seek to welcome them. There may be people who come into the life of the church who hold certain values that are contrary to the values that we hold. And just to cite some extremes, it may be that people come who are sexist or racist. What do? We welcome them, but we make clear what our values are. And it may be upon understanding who we are and what our values are as we seek to follow Jesus, that sexist person has a choice. Do they come in or do they go, no, this is not for me? Or for that racist, again, we share what our values are and say, this is how we live together. You're so welcome, but you can't come in. Just for your sake, if you hold those values, you just won't fit, it won't work. Put down your attitudes and you will truly find a home here. So are there exceptions? In a way, there are. But it's about that clash of values. If we try and enter the kingdom of God and hold on to our values, which are contrary to the kingdom of God, we'll find life is very difficult. And so Jesus says, let go. But always have the open arms. Always put your hands out to receive, to welcome, to make a space for folk. But be very open about what our values are, following Jesus. And we do all of this as a witness. People may not always understand the words that we speak, but how we live together and how we welcome others is a powerful witness to the good news concerning Jesus Christ. How in Jesus Christ, God is reconciling all things to himself, not counting our sins against us. And the way we welcome is a witness to that reality. And so it is that we have this value of welcome. We are committed to welcoming all and making a safe place. May we all know the welcome of God. May we all rest in that welcome and respond with open arms to welcome all. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that in the Lord Jesus Christ, you welcome all of us. Father, thank you, without a word to our status, our standing, or even to our sin, you welcome us, like the father of the prodigal son who ran down the road and threw his arms around the one who was lost and dead. Father, thank you that you are to us like that father. And you welcome us. Father, we pray you would help us day by day increasingly accept your welcome of us. And as we accept your welcome of us, help us to respond with generous hearts to welcome all. Father, Help us with our prejudice. Help us as we face those that we find difficult. Help us to truly welcome them as you have welcomed them and us. And as we are made aware, we confess our prejudice. We ask your forgiveness, and we ask that you would help us move beyond our prejudice, that we might follow more closely our Lord Jesus. Father, encourage us, strengthen us, help us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.